This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Louis J. Gomez.
What is up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican rattlesnake, real ass dude, hashtag the show. Hanging in studio with the international superstar, Zach Amico.
Hashtag the Mo.
Hey, can you guys not mock me while I'm doing my names? I see everyone's faces going bleh. Can you not do that? I'm supposed to be the leader here.
You forgot the artist formerly known as the Howard Stern MMA Radio. The artist? What is it? I don't even know.
Can you learn how to speak? You do this for a living.
No.
Chris Sinkel's
right.
Here.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Can you learn how to drive a car? You do this for a living.
Yeah, and if he does this for a living, I'm going to kill myself.
Tinkle, what's up, man?
I'm great. I just found out he's getting paid. I'm awesome. Fucking morning, everybody.
Chris Scopo's here. What's up, bitch?
Sorry, what's going on?
There we go. Good timing. Look, man, we got a great show planned today. Huge show planned today. Couple things. Let's get these plugs out of the way really quick. Make sure you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Check out all the other amazing shows. Dave Smith's Part of the Problem, the SDR Show, High Society Radio. Of course, buy a Real Ass Dude t-shirt. I saw a couple of them were purchased this morning. Tweet at me if you buy a shirt. I will retweet you and call you a Real Ass Dude, which is pretty much worth the $24 in itself. You know, I think we got hats coming soon, and I think we're going to have douchebag muscle t-shirts for the summer. Real Ass Dude. Real Ass Douchebag shirts. So, also, guys, really quick, if you guys want to check us out, anything to plug, Zach?
Yeah, follow me Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Tonight, if you're listening live, I'm in Secaucus, New Jersey, Meadowlands Comedy Festival with Angel Salazar. Next week, on Thursday, the 21st, I'm at Bear Burger for Jonas Barnes Show.
You're just eating there, don't lie. You're taking my place at Bear Burger.
Am I?
Yeah, he hit me up. He was like, can Zach Amico take your place? I was like, you goddamn right he can. You goddamn right.
I'm just lifting up your scraps.
They're still billing it as me. I'm kind of annoyed about that. Like they're promoting it still. I told him I couldn't do it, and then he posted a thing that day specifically saying that I'm headlining the show. Infuriating. Chris Tinkle, what do you got to plug?
I'm not doing Jonas Barnes Show. fucking guy. Throwing a thing at I just love that he's having a show at a hamburger joint. It's just like the world is right. You know what I mean?
Well, he's gonna make a big Facebook post about how people mistreat the cows first in comedy.
Yeah. Fucking free range cows. Yeah.
So what do you gotta plug?
The new MMA. Well, not new, but hammer fisting on Wednesday nights at 9. We just had our first show.
That was great. Dude.
We had Misha Tate on, and it was like we went way over, but we could have gone even another hour, dude.
I know. It was
like we were totally.
Yeah. I was surprised because you and Ricky probably have done radio together a couple times.
Yeah, well, yeah, but we've also like hung out a lot and stuff. So
it was great.
But it was like, and he made the air of casually mentioning two pro wrestling stories that like affected me deeply in my life.
Oh, nice.
And so then we went off on 20-minute tangents about Owen Hart and.
It was great, dude. It was a really great show. It is available on the Real Ass Podcast YouTube page. So if you guys are MMA fans, you like the hammer fisting segment we do on the show. Ricky Bones from SiriusXM and Chris Tinkle, brand new show every Wednesday 9 p.m. Check that out. Chris Scopo, anything to plug?
Twitter and Instagram at Chris Scopo. And I have April 27th. Come to New York Comedy Club 7 p.m.
Sweet. I'll be on that show, guys. Make sure you check me out. Mm-hmm. Also, guys, you could maybe go tonight and tomorrow to Ha Comedy Club in Ridge Hill up in Yonkers, but they canceled the weekend on me 3 days in advance or 4 days in advance. So, you know, that's fucking fun. So I'm not going to spend too much.
Still furious about it?
I'm not going to. Dude, I got furious about two other things in between that. And now.
It's still coming back, though?
So it does come back. They keep on pulling me back in. But I'm almost over it. You should tweet at Ha Ridge Hill and tell them to go fuck themselves. But whatever. I don't really give a shit anymore. I'm over it. They're going to fucking dig their own death. The Ha Comedy Club in New York City was the worst comedy club in the history of New York. They're probably going to continue to be those people. So they can go fuck themselves. But you can, if you guys are in Los Angeles, I will be in LA this Sunday, April 17th through Thursday. I got a lot of shows. I'm at the Comedy Store Sunday, Monday, Tuesday and Thursday night. If you guys want to check me out, there's four opportunities just at the Comedy Store. I'm at the Dime on Tuesday earlier in the night doing a bunch of podcasts. Kill Tony live. I'm going to be doing the Church of What's Happening Now with Joey Diaz live. And I will be on Punch Drunk Sports with Ari Shaffir live. So you guys can tune into all those podcasts next week. Making the rounds, the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. And last thing to plug, May 13th, Legion of Skanks presents Dave Smith, Louis J. Gomez with special guest Dan Soder. If you're in the Detroit area, we're going to be at the Detroit Hustler Club. So you get to see titties and you get to check out some live comedy. It's going to be a really fun time. We're going to do a special bonus episode of Legion of Skanks after the stand-up comedy show, so you guys can stick around for that as well. Tickets are $20. I'll make sure I tweet them out probably at least two or three times a week between now and then. Okay. That's it. That's all the fucking plugs. Got them out. I like doing them up top better. Get them the fuck out of the way. Let's get into the fucking show.
Yeah, because then when the show starts too, I'm like, I'm not worthless. I got stuff going on.
Yeah,
I
mean,
that's just me. Yeah, that's just me. I don't know what you guys are doing.
No, I'm low. Yeah. I'm always low.
All right, so look, dude, what a week, man. A lot of stuff happening. First of all, it's tax day officially, but there's an extension, right?
Now yeah, it's Monday.
Monday's Monday. Tax day.
And then you could just like write in and say, I want to do it later. And then you get until
October. That's what I'm doing.
That's what I do every single time.
That's what I can't stand it, dude. I'm just so not worried. I need to be rich enough to where I can take a third of my money and put it away. And then I need to be rich enough to also hire a personal assistant to do everything for me. That's my goal in life right now, is to be able to hire a personal assistant part-time to take care of all of my bullshit.
What the fuck is Maddie?
Maddie's not my personal assistant. Maddie is an intern for, not even, he's a producer on Gas Digital right now, except we don't pay him yet, so.
Well, if you could just do like a 24-hour podcast where like your life is the podcast.
That's a smart idea.
And then Maddie is in charge. Maddie will end up being your personal assistant.
Hey, Ralph, do we need a personal assistant? Can we hire Maddie to do all of our personal stuff?
He's in the basement right now. He's in the basement making his wife.
Ralph, back. Should we fire Maddie? Fire Ben!
Fuck man. Oh shit, man. Yeah, man. So this time of year just it really gives me agita. And by the way, Tinkle didn't know what agita was because he walked in two.
I thought it was another eye thing or something that you had.
I got an agita growing on my face right now. No, agita in Italian. Can you look up the definition of agita?
It's heartburn.
Is it heartburn?
It's heartburn.
Is it?
Yes.
I had no idea what it was. Because when Tinkle asked me, because he walked in 2 minutes before the podcast, mm-hmm. and I was like, Tinkle, tweet it out. And he was like, oh, say hi first. And I was like, fuck you, dude. You walked in 2 minutes before the show.
I didn't say hi first. I said it with a little bit more flair than that. Well, I was like, hey, guys, how's it going?
You did a little cunty.
I was more of an asshole. Yeah,
I was more passive aggressive.
Yeah,
thing.
Way more cunty. Yeah.
So, and I was like, all right, well, I would say hi if you didn't show up 2 minutes before the fucking podcast was supposed to start. And then I said, you're giving me agita. So. Then he asked me, well, what's agita?
Yeah.
And I just said, I was like, I don't know. It's just agita. You're putting me on edge. You're putting me on edge. But agita, are you sure it's heartburn?
Yeah.
Want an actual definition right now.
I could have said.
He's got to figure out how to spell agita.
Yeah.
And then I could have fired back.
Indigestion. Well, and it's usually from anxiety and stress.
Yeah, I could have fired back hardcore. Why don't you take a Purple Tums?
Here's a Pepto-Bismol, bitch.
Yeah. And then I would have said, boom.
Okay, so it's not heartburn,
it's
though.
Stress-induced
it's not
indigestion,
heartburn,
which is heartburn. I mean, it's all the
is
same
that true?
Shit.
By the way, if you guys are following along in the chat, you guys can chime in at any time. And if your chat comment is funny or interesting, we might just read it on the show, guys. So please follow along in the chat. I don't think indigestion is inherently heartburn. Heartburn is one of the side effects of indigestion, no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
That's that commercial.
Yeah.
You are just, you're wrong though. I love the fact
the first definition was indigestion.
He did say very
I'm sorry, you're right. I said heartburn.
He said heartburn.
But whatever, it's the same
with
shit.
All the confidence in the world.
A lot that bothered me.
It's usually used in the context of aggravation.
Yeah. You're giving me agita right now.
You're just nothing but agita.
Yeah, but how do you give somebody indigestion?
You don't.
What a shitty thing. That's not what it is. You're not giving me indigestion, Tinkle.
Yeah,
you're making me angry.
I was causing you stress.
Stress.
What's the Italian word for anger? Or angry?
Angaro?
You're giving me anger. Just do the Italian.
The translation?
Yeah, the translation to Italian. Scopo, stop acting like you're a real Italian.
No, I didn't know if you meant like the Italian word or just like the actual anger.
No,
Italian.
The word anger in Italian, because I can say
rabbia.
Tickle, you're giving me rabbia.
I'm giving you anger.
That's more of it. That's more of the word that you should be using. Am I wrong? What's boner in Italian?
What's stressed out in Italian? Actually, that's probably more apt.
But you wouldn't be giving me stressed out.
I'm making you stressed. Well, I wouldn't be giving you anger.
Okay,
either.
You're giving me Aurora Marciano, which is a boner.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. What? What? No, I'm glad I give you boners.
Can you just get here 15 minutes before the show, though? Is it possible ever?
Yeah, usually.
Aurora
yeah.
Marciano would be a great ring card.
I don't get home until...
It really would be.
Yeah, I don't get home until after 3 on
Aurora Marciano.
Thursday, so it's like... It's kinda, and I don't get to bed till 5 or 6. So,
you can't... Excuses.
10 fucking minutes, you can't get here earlier?
Excuses.
I mean, I can try.
Yeah, that's what you did for Hammer Fisting, too. You showed up 5 minutes for the show. And
that was also different, though.
You gave Maddie Rabia.
I also explained that to you earlier. I told you, yeah. If there's one thing we could have done different, I would have got here earlier. But I was waiting for Ricky because he didn't know how to find this place.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do?
It's all right.
All right. So, look, let's get in some shit here today. Yeah, if you guys are following along as well, you could tweet us at Real Ass Podcast. Maddie will be monitoring the tweets as well. Maddie, you can monitor the chat, actually. It doesn't always have to be me, buddy. You know?
Okay.
I want to talk about this really quick. There was three public beefs ago, because I had Ha Ridge Hill,
mm-hmm.
me and Keith the Copper going at it publicly.
Keith the Cop, who's that?
But earlier in the week, like almost a week ago, there was...
I remember this beef. What is this?
This is with the... I guess it's not a beef with JC Knows Best, but it was his post about a roast battle show. What's the name of the show? Comedy Fight Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so there was a comedian that was battling another comedian. And I want
Which, by the way, Comedy Fight Club, they should not be talking about online.
I just wonder, how did silence feel? How did silence feel for once?
I'll get used to it.
Wasn't that bad, right?
Yeah.
They were doing a roast battle, and Jesus. Then the one comedian pulled out a KKK hoodie. put it
on. He won.
Look, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I think that, and I wasn't there, so wow. I don't know. Apparently, it didn't go over, right? The audience just kind of got uncomfortable. And I think it speaks to a bigger problem in comedy. Wow. That there's a PC movement in comedy right now that comedians are trying to police each other's comedy. So this guy pulls it out. This guy, JC Knows Best, and I'm doing his podcast on the 25th, which is a 3-drink minimum podcast, which is a terrible name for a production company. It's the name of a production company that was doing shows, and they called it 3-drink minimum presents. Like, you're just really confusing people.
Yeah.
That's not a very... It makes it look like you have to buy 3 drinks going to this show, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. People, I guess, the joke didn't go over well. He pulls out a KKK hoodie and a little noose, and he was roasting a Hispanic guy who looks black, and the crowd got weird. Right. So apparently another comedian, Dave Lester, jumps up on stage with his belt, pulls his belt off and hits the fucking dude with the KKK hoodie with his belt. The black comedian does this.
Okay. Yeah. Fuck, if the white dude would have hit the black dude with the belt.
Or the noose.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Good.
Yeah, you got to commit.
He just strung him up on the noose.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. So, I'm sure, like, you probably only heard from the guy who did the thing with the Klan. Like, were his jokes funny once he did that thing?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, there you go.
But either way.
I know this guy from when I used to do the mic at CB's. I'm going to take a wild guess and say no.
Okay, well,
it's not funny.
Go. Yeah.
No, he stinks.
But, look, you know, and I want you to pull up the Patrice clip that I posted on Facebook, because it's one of the best, just one of the best ways to articulate this point. And I learned this point from Patrice, and I hold it as gospel. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. If you're trying to be funny, okay?
Yeah, he went for funny.
He went for funny. That's it. You just did that 2 minutes ago, okay? You went for funny and it didn't hit, right? So it doesn't fucking matter. If it's an attempt at funny, I don't give a fuck really what it is, especially in the context of a roast battle. You know, I mean, the whole idea of these shows is you're supposed to really go as far as possible.
I get people being upset, though.
I get people, yeah.
If it's not funny. Dude,
an audience member has a right to be upset. Another comic? Another comic? Come on.
See, I don't know. I get what people are upset, but I get his choice of trying to be funny. I get both of them. I get that he tried to be funny, and I get what people are
if
upset.
If an audience member wants to, even if an audience member got up on stage and tried to punch him in the face, I would go, you know what? They're not in the business of funny. Maybe they shouldn't be going to comedy shows, you know, but they're not in the business of funny. If you are in the business of funny, and you are trying to draw a line for other comedians because this is what you deem offensive, okay? Let me tell you something. Any one of our acts, anybody in the world, okay, except for like Christian super clean comics, they're going to do something that somebody's going to deem deem offensive. Okay, they're gonna say, hey, that pisses me off. That's offensive, because it's gonna different things affect people different ways. If you do a joke about cancer or AIDS, or you might have a family member that you know died, or even something as simple as death. The word death might trigger you to go, oh, that makes me bummed out because my grandpa just died last week. You don't have the right, number one, to tell another fucking comic what they're doing. Number two, to put your fucking hands on them. It's fucking despicable. Okay, it is fucking awful. Period. I can't tell you how angry that makes me. And I, dude, part of me wanted to show up at Legion of Skanks with a fucking KKK hoodie on and invite the guy and be like, all right, put your fucking hands on me now, dude. Let's see if you're going to fucking do the same thing. Because the guy who got hit, I guess his name was Michael Kramer.
I believe so.
Yeah.
He's a little guy. How great is
not
that?
The best. Yeah. It's not really great. The best name.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you think that was going to go?
Yeah, okay. Jesus Christ.
But he's a small, like, skinny Jewish guy. He's a guy, when you're, it's like a bully mentality. You'll go and attack a guy that you know isn't going to punch you in the fucking mouth.
Yeah.
I want somebody to fucking come to my show and try to put their fucking hands on me, because I'm going to put you through a fucking wall. Period. Every time.
I don't With my KKK hoodie on, I might look like a college student. I'm glad that hit.
Pull up the Patrice.
But this is pretty fucking, it's pretty racist. It's, I get the joke. I get the birth of the joke. I get he's trying to make it funny, but he's, you gotta, in your head, you gotta realize, dude, I'm doing this in front of a room full of black people.
I host the Roastmaster show. I can easily see that going over at the Roastmaster show.
If a funny person did it in the right context, you're telling me if Aaron Burr came dressed as Hitler, he wouldn't get laughs?
He would.
You know what?
He came dressed up as my dead father, and because I was laughing and playing along, the audience fucking loved it, dude. I mean, that affected me. When me and Aaron Berg roasted each other, and we'll play a little bit of that. He came up dressed up. He had a toy knife sticking out of his side, blood down his shirt. Yeah, dude. And he fucking killed me. It was so brilliant. Now, that personally affected me on a personal level. Yeah. My dad died, and I wasn't even slightly offended, because the context of a roast battle, like, I could see if he showed up at my fucking family picnic, he'd probably get beaten to death by a bunch of Gomez's.
Yeah.
But it's in the context of a roast battle, really anything goes. It is so obvious that he is trying to be funny. It is so obvious that there's no hate involved, and he's fucking Jewish, you morons. The KKK hates Jews. Are you out of your fucking mind? Play the Patrice clip, because it's just one of the best things, and anybody who hasn't seen this should see this.
So, next up on the chopping block, XM satellite radio DJs Opie and Anthony, they're under fire now for airing joking comments about raping Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Will they be the next to go? Is radio cleaning house after the Imus debacle? With me now, New City President Sonia Osorio. She took part in a recent protest calling for radio stations to stop supporting negative language in music and talk radio, and also our favorite stand-up comic, Patrice O'Neill. Oh,
thank you, sir.
Patrice, are ONA next?
I hope not. I hope JV, I wish JV and Elvis didn't lose their job or Imus. It's funny, this is the thing. I don't know her, but I'm assuming that she has nothing to do with funny. So I'm going to speak as the expert on funny. Funny people should just be left to trying to be funny.
What if they're not funny?
Then you made a mistake. But how many unfunny rape jokes lead to rape?
Like, I don't know how many jokes about rape there are.
There's a lot. But your world is not funny. Your world is next on the big story. My world is people trying to be funny.
Well, I mean, you think it's okay to try to make jokes about rape?
I'm diabetic. I make fun of that. I'm a victim. I might lose a toe. But I'm trying to make fun of it. I'm trying to make fun of anything I think I can make fun of.
Sonia?
You know, what's happening now is the marketplace.
Okay.
Is deciding what's appropriate or what's not appropriate. I think the nation is just tired. There's a new mood in the nation.
What nation?
The nation. You know what? We're tired of things that
it's
are just
the nation
is
paper and you. I'm not the nation. I'm just speaking for me and funny. You're speaking for the nation, or you're speaking for...
Yeah, you know why? Because I remember 6 years ago...
Was Anthony's skin so clear there?
Doing
did he get acne
something
in his
against
40s?
Anthony Openy, because they were just
it was sexually
so
transmitted.
Outrageous, and their violent images that
you.
They put out to women was just uncalled for. And now I think people...
You think they were trying to be funny?
I think now people, in this country are trying to be funny. You know what? I don't care if they're trying to be funny.
That's what I'm saying. Why are you in that business?
I've been to your show once, and it wasn't very funny being a woman.
It was hilarious.
When you talked about...
That's why she doesn't like me. I was in the paper with her, and the joke is hilarious. It's called The Angry Pirate. And the lady who wrote it in her outrage didn't even know what it meant. And anybody who read it laughed because they know what funny... You're not living in the context of funny. You're living in the context of fire.
They have every right to be as funny as they want. They can go out and try to be as funny as they want, make as much money being as funny as they want. This is what's happening. There is a change in this country. People are realizing they have an opportunity to speak out, and advertisers are listening.
You're not talking to who I talk to.
And you're not going to get paid as much money anymore.
Sonia and Patrice,
look at this. The marketplace
more
is
CBS
speaking.
Radio firings. They've been on a tear lately.
All right.
Are they cleaning house, or is this the PC cops run amok?
You know what it is, John. You know what it is while you're reading that paper. It's the PC cops run amok.
Well, you think she's a PC cop?
Of course she is. She has an entire encyclopedia of her stance on it, but it's no passion involved. It's not a real... This is just what she has to say. We are outraged and fired. Name calling. I'm outraged.
You should be.
I am a fool. Now, if I called you a fool,
You know what? People are feeling a new sense of entitlement.
Who are these people
in this country?
Who are the people?
A new sense of entitlement. Patrice, here's my question.
How can you justify a bad joke, a joke that isn't funny? Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
An attempt that isn't funny, doesn't get any laughs, and is about raping the first black woman to ever become the Secretary of State of the United States.
Throw that at me.
Well, why not?
The attempt is what I'm trying to fight for. The joke funny jokes and unfunny jokes are come out of the same birth. That you don't know if anything is going to be funny. You should attempt to be able to make anything funny.
Don't you think a joke about rape is doomed to be not funny?
It's possible, but I've heard them.
You've heard a funny rape joke?
I'd say a couple. Watch my HBO special. You're pretty good at it.
Yeah, Patrice says that if you're having sex with a woman, doggy style, and if you hit her in the head, she lost the second she said doggy style.
It's ejaculate in her eye and kick her in the shin, and she walks around like, "Arg! It's the angry pirate."
That's what she was trying to say. A violent act of hitting her in the back of her head, her body.
It's called the donkey punch.
Which will then.
Why are you laughing? She's outraged. It's called the donkey punch. It's called humor that she has no clue what it is.
You have the same problem that Opie and Anthony does. You can't say just anything on the air.
You can say anything you want. It might not be funny. You might get in trouble for it, but you should be able to be attempting. And plus...
Wait, you know what? Play it in its entirety. Fuck it. What are we doing?
Is a crazy bum going to get an opportunity to rape the president? If the president's wife, John... It was trying to be funny.
All right, Patrice, why aren't I hearing Al Sharpton complain about this thing involving Congress?
Because it wasn't involving young black women.
Well, it's involving a very prominent black woman.
Well, where was she during young black? Everybody has their agenda.
I was there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. All right, excuse me.
But why am I not hearing from Sharpton?
Because it doesn't concern him. It's not concerning him. Al Sharpton has his agenda, and it was perfect for Al. Young black women. And now she's representing just women in general. She's not representing now.
All right, we'll stop playing it. And look, the truth is I played the clip almost in its entirety because I think it's an interesting point. I think that there's nobody better in the world to articulate that point. And comedians should never be that woman. Comedians should be fighting against that fucking woman. Comedians, radio, if you're in the entertainment business, if you're in the business of funny, you should want it to be as black and white as possible, okay? Because who the fuck is anybody to draw the lines on what they're going to consider offensive? And the second a comic is threatening another comic with violence because they attempted to be funny, are you out of your fucking mind? You know, I guess there was a guy at an open mic who said the N-word. At the open mic in a joke. I was at years ago, I used to go to the Eastville open mic because it was the only place in the world that would ever let me just show up and just try out new jokes. And there was a kid who did a joke with the N-word in it. And it was his grandma. He was doing an impression of his grandma, basically. And I guess it was a white kid, and his grandma said something like, "Nigga, you crazy," or something like that, right? And there was a black kid in the back who started screaming. It was another comic. Started screaming like, "Nah, nah, nah. I gave the fucking kid the goon arm. I pulled him out of the fucking room. I was like, dude, don't fucking interrupt another comic. I was like, you got a problem with it? Say something to after the show, okay? Be that fucking douchebag, but you're not going to fucking go and interrupt another comedian in his attempt to be funny, especially at that level in an open mic.
Yeah.
So yeah, Scopo, you're just wrong.
I'm not wrong. I think that
Scopo goes against everything Patrice stands for. He said it.
Yes, I hate Patrice. No, I think I get why people are upset, and I get why the kid did it. I get both sides. I would never personally be like, dude, don't do that, because I get why he's trying to be funny, but I get why people are outraged. I understand not their comics, point of view.
It's also like a skill level thing.
Yes,
like you walk out there with a fucking Klan hat and a noose, like you really, your jokes don't have to be vicious because you're already like anything that you say under that umbrella, you can kind of pull your punches and be funny just because you're silly and wearing a fucking
yeah.
So I'm sure he was just equally as harsh, and I don't know this guy, but I assume
once again, you know, if the intent was to be funny, I stand behind it. At the end of the day, it's like you bombing, yeah. You not getting laughs. That is your punishment for attempting yeah. funny and not being good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it's like I don't know. I don't do jokes about the N-word. Okay, I don't do jokes with the word faggot in it. I had a joke that I changed. I had a joke where. You know, about my kid being gay, about how I know it would bother me because my dog humped a male dog and the dog's owner started making fun of me and called my dog gay. And then the joke is something along the lines of,
your dog is gay.
Yeah, yeah. So
something along the lines. He's done this joke 10,000 times.
Well,
he plays fucking coy. Something like...
No, but I don't remember.
And it broke my fucking heart, guys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know better than I know. But I used to say, I was like, my dog's not gay. Your dog's gay. Your dog's gay. He's just sitting there taking it. Something about his fat. I said a faggot dog. I called his dog a faggot dog. And I noticed a few years ago, it shifted. The audience stopped laughing when I would say faggot dog, and they'd get tense because that word became like a trigger word. You know what I'm saying? So I changed it to your gay dog. And it's as simple as that. And the joke works again because you can still make fun of people.
It was homo dog.
Yeah, it was homo dog for a little while. Yeah.
You should say, my dog's just dominating your faggot dog, a man would.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now I go, my dog's just dominating your homo dog, or I say gay dog. I had to change the word faggot because I personally, I noticed there was a shift, and it's my job to get as many laughs as possible so I can get booked on comedy shows. You know what I'm saying?
So they can get canceled 4 days before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Fucking Hodge Hill. What is this?
Clayton Bigsby from Chappelle's show.
It's also a little different when a black guy does it.
And it's
Dave Chappelle.
It's fucking
this
genius.
This is a fucking Emmy-winning skit. I'm so pretty sure that guy didn't have.
You know, don't actually play because I don't want to get bumped off of. I don't know if we could play that. We'll probably end up getting bumped from that. But that's a brilliant sketch. But yeah, I mean, look, pull up just a second or two of Aaron Berg dressed as my father. Go to the middle of it. Don't. Good, play it.
The real ass diet.
He's got a knife in his head.
Rican culture.
It sucks that wherever Maddie goes, it's just people laughing at how good Aaron is.
Yeah. Yeah, can you always play the punchlines?
Calls them the real ass diet.
I didn't know your dad was Jamaican.
It's a terrible accent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gracias.
Aaron Berg is 43 years old and has been doing comedy for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
The only number sadder than that are the tattoos across his grandparents' forearms.
It was the Holocaust.
All right, that's it. It was the Holocaust. He just fucking killed me. He really did. That dude, people were laughing so hard.
Oh, it was pretty funny.
At Aaron. I mean, it was so funny, dude. He really did it. It was a great job. But if I'm not getting offended, am I just crazy here? Like, there's nothing you can do in this context that I'm ever going to be offended by.
Well, you're also different, dude. There's a lot of people who would not be cool with that. Honestly, when I saw that thing, it made me kind of like... The first thing I thought was, if he was okay. I mean, I'm sure you act like you were okay, but the first thing I thought was, I wonder if he was okay with that.
I was 100% okay with
it. Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, for me, when Lewis I first saw that, I was
there's
like...
There's really nothing you can't take, though.
Yeah, but you're like a different...
Yeah.
I have a particularly thick skin, so I mean, maybe I'm looking at it
You have a way thicker skin than a lot of other people do.
Yeah, I'm looking at it from a different perspective, but at the same time, I mean, This is the name of the show. I mean, I watched a guy when I was at the LA Roast Battle, which I will be judging the LA one if you guys are in Los Angeles. Come out to the Roast Battle. It's midnights in at the Comedy Store. I'll be there with Mike Lawrence representing the New York Roastmaster show, and we're going to be judging it. There was a kid who, I don't know what the disease was. It was whatever disease that puts you in a wheelchair and twists up all your limbs.
I think it was cerebral palsy. I heard about this.
Dude, it was crazy. I mean, they wheeled him up, and I was like, oh, my fucking God, dude. And they were
so... He was roasting somebody?
He was roasting somebody, dude. He ended up winning.
Of course. But he of course. He won. Yeah, won as soon as they had to like make a custom ramp the day before. They didn't make one. Going,
Oh, shit, dude.
Eight more minutes. Beep, beep, beep.
Dude, he
backs in.
But look, he had great jokes. He fucking killed it. But the guy who was roasting him went the fuck at him, as he should have. And the audience completely got it. Nobody got uptight and offended. This is the name of the game. If you're coming into one of these things, you should expect it to go as far as possible. And if you, this is the problem, because the level of roast battle that show is, Fight Club, I'm assuming it's a lot of younger open micers.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a lot of people that, there's a weird thing in the culture now where everyone wants to be PC. And I posted something about this on Facebook, but there's, people do this all the time. They post something and the point of the post is, guys, women are equal to men, or rape is bad, or you know, racism is evil. Be like, yeah, no fucking shit. Why do we even need to spend our time talking about that? That is so obvious. For comedians, who, in my opinion, we should be pushing the envelope, we should be making people think, for comedians to spend their time writing shit like that, it's so pandery and fucking faggoty. It makes my stomach turn. I watch people do that all the fucking
time.
The
more you say women are as funny as men, the more you're perpetrating the argument for other people to say they're not.
Yeah, that's it. We get it. Women are as funny as men, okay? Not really.
No, they're great. No, they're funny.
All 200 of them.
And they're all 300 svelte, like, and none of them are like plus size. No, they're all great.
Some of them look really pretty. Some of them have a competition to see who can look the most awkward in their photo.
You know, Lewis, like, so like,
it was like a Where's Waldo for funny.
Like, I had this show on time where there was this, so it was like this, benefit for police dogs. So it was like this like sold out show, and it was all cops, and so they had like me and a couple other dudes, and we all, you know, we went super raw, and they had this cop that was on the show, and he did stand up, but he'd stand up maybe like twice a year or whatever. His first 5 minutes he was doing fine. His last 5 minutes he started doing like really edgy shit about, like, you guys know when you like pull someone over and you say you only fine $5,000 but you really fine 20. And dude, it got fucking quiet because, dude, he's not a real comic. And like me and the other comics in the back were like, dude, he has to work with these people tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like he was making like very inappropriate.
Yeah, none of the cops probably want to laugh because there's probably like captains in there.
Oh, totally. Like, oh no, it was just like it was just like
getting trouble.
You try to be like a pro and you don't have those kind of skills like that to be able to pull that off. Plus you know.
Yeah, that's what the problem is, that that Comedy Fight Club is a lot of younger comics. The guy wasn't good enough.
They don't have the skill level to do it.
Wasn't good
enough.
9 out of 10 people shouldn't be doing the show. However,
how can they do the show? Because isn't it, doesn't Rel and the other guy have like a trademark on it?
I mean, you can't trademark a type
of
show.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's a trademark. I thought they did
call it something else, though.
Yeah.
It's like trademarking a show with only black people and only Mexicans. Yeah.
And who'd want that?
You can't call it like Refried Tuesdays, but you can call it, you know.
All right, so let's move on. There was this is an interesting story. I talked about this on Red Eye when I was on last week, and apparently the story isn't completely true. Ross Story picked it up, and apparently there was a Republican lawmaker from Pennsylvania, and his emails got hacked, and it was never actually proposed. But one of the things in the email they were talking about was maybe proposing this law to cut funding or completely on arts in schools, in like middle schools, elementary schools, high schools.
Arts is in like art class, like band or something like that.
They were specifically talking about like poetry. I'm assuming it's yeah. I mean, look, I'm trying to like actually get the details here. Maybe we should guess the news on this one. Maddie, let's guess the news.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to know more information. I shouldn't have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Still, man, these guys don't know shit.
All right. So yeah, apparently, I don't exactly know. I don't know if it was specifically from any particular art program. The story itself is kind of discombobulated. But
and it's not even like a real thing because it was like a fucking idea that he had in an email that they never.
Yeah, it never was a real thing. But I don't even mind that idea, to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you why. Okay, I think that I really don't. Don't make that face. I really don't mind the idea because artists. Not everyone's an artist. Not everyone's good at art. Not everyone is.
I would say out of 100 kids, maybe 5 to 10 can benefit from it.
Right. We have a culture right now where everyone wants to be an actor, a musician, a celebrity, a fucking YouTube star. The reality is we should go back to a time when people want to become fucking lawyers, doctors, and have real jobs. Not every kid needs to go on American Idol. How are there thousands and thousands and thousands of people in every city that think that they can be a fucking professional singer and they show up for these things? Big J talked about it in his hour special, actually. He's got a really good joke about his daughter specifically wanting to go sign up for American Idol. He's like, no, you can't fucking sing. What are you doing? Why am I going to coddle you and pretend that you're like a good singer? You know, and I get the point completely. It's like there's something, the term starving artist is a real term. We should be starving.
Speaking of starving, Bob Kelly's calling Scopo.
Uh-oh, what is he? Tell him you're on the podcast. You can answer it. Yes, tell him, see if he wants to chime in really quick. Put him on speaker.
Hey, what's up?
Chris.
You're live on the Real Ass Podcast.
Tell him he's on the Real Ass Podcast. Make sure he knows. What's up, Bobby? I knew that was going to happen. The quickest way you want to get rid of Bobby Kelly on a phone call. Dude, you're on a podcast. Click.
Yeah, you're on someone else's show.
I mean, am I crazy? Why do we need to be pumping more funding and spending more tax dollars on little kids to live their fucking pipe dreams? If you really want to be an artist, okay, you will fucking find a way. And what?
Come on, dude.
Because you're an art teacher. Don't give me your shit.
Yeah, but if you're a little kid, how are you going to find it unless they present it to you?
Yeah. Dude, I'm sitting across Dude, look at Zach, dude.
He looks like abstract art.
He looks like he took every class. And just like he would just sit and like learn how to play like the kazoo all day. Like,
I'm not saying cut it completely. I'm saying we should be limiting the funding. We shouldn't be looking to put more money into art programs in schools. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Look, obviously, I'm not saying get rid of art class. I'm not saying get rid of music class. But the way that I grew up, we had one art class, we had one music class, and that was that. I don't know that if we're spending our tax dollars on something, that it should be encouraging every little fucking kid in this country that they're special and a great artist and they all have these amazing abilities.
Isn't it therapeutic for a lot of kids? And it helps them deal with shit at home? And
it is.
I don't know. Better parents.
And also, if you're taking art class, you're going to figure out whether or not you're fucking good or not. You're not going to have that pipe dream, like, I want to be on TV, I want to be famous. You're going to take an acting class and realize that you have to memorize shit. And it's not fucking easy, and then you're going to go back to doing other classes.
Or you can be drawing in high school and suck for 4 years, and then RISD tells you to go fuck yourself when you apply because you're not good enough.
Yeah, but the problem is I think that there's too many kids today that if you ask a kid today, there's a book called Generation Me, and it's a really good book, man. And I suggest anybody read this book, and it talks about that. It specifically breaks down this whole millennial generation where it's just pure laziness. Everybody thinks that they can get their 5 minutes of fame. YouTube and social media has given kind of everybody a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, you had your opinion
in
your
shit.
Circle of friends.
You had to be fucking talented to be an actor back in the day.
Yeah, dude. Now every motherfucker and their mother wants to be some sort of artist, celebrity.
Cream rises to the top, dude. I mean, how many shows do you see get like made for like people who are like famous on YouTube? I've seen so many shows where they get like a pilot or something. Nothing happens, dude.
Yeah.
So the cream rises to the top. Like if you're good, you're gonna get through, and if you're not, you're not. That's just how it is. So I don't think like not giving them. I don't know, dude. When I was in school, like I always say this. I had a teacher who came up to me when I wrote this paper, and she came up to me and she pulled me aside and said, "Hey, do you know that you know how to write?" And I was like, "What?" She's like, "You know how to. I don't know if you know this, but you're like you're really good at it."
Yeah.
And I had no idea. I never even thought about it before. And then when she said that, it like changed everything for me. And she made me go to harder classes, which was fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
because I just wanted to fuck off. But
yeah, but I don't know. Writing.
It's the same. It's an art.
It is an art to a certain degree. You're right.
Poetry would be writing.
Yeah, and I would have never known that if so.
I think anybody who is teaching poetry, they should lose their job immediately. Put them in the fields. Have them fucking harvest corn.
I was the same as you, dude. And then I read like some.
Maybe that's why
Robert
your poem
Frost.
Turned out that way.
Yeah, I know. If you had read some Robert Frost, you would have not had a rhyme.
By the way, Scopo, when you said it affects like what, 10 out of every 100 kids?
I would say probably.
Out of every 100 kids in your school, how many were on the baseball team?
Depend. We have three different teams, though, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, what, too. Like 10 kids out of every 100, maybe?
No, I was three teams. It was 15 a team, so that's 45 kids.
Out of how many 100 kids in your school?
With 1,000.
But I also agree with that. That's extra.
4.5 kids.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? They're not making kids play baseball. They make you take an art class. They make you take a music class.
Team, yeah.
That's extracurricular.
I'm just saying it's helping the same amount of people, so they should cut that funding too then.
I kind of agree.
First of all, we didn't have funding for baseball. You had to pay like $100 to
be on the team,
and then the league, the school paid for the umpires.
I don't think that they should put our tax dollars into sports programs either. I think that it's all extracurricular activities. If you want to be a fucking professional baseball player, want it, work at it, go out and do the things that you need to do in order to do
that's
that.
That's one thing,
but
too.
For me to have to pay some fucking kid to be like, hey dude, I don't want to fucking learn, I want to go play, I want to go hit a ball, go fuck yourself.
With professional sports, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna go out and do this. It's more like, if you're good, they'll find you, and then you play. That's, it's not like I'm gonna go out, you don't really search for it, they find you, which is a little different.
Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Fuck you, Robert Frost.
Why did you leave me? Why did you leave me?
B, B, B.
B, B, B.
Why did you leave me?
Comes after C. Why did you leave me?
1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6. I'm going to hit myself with a sticks.
Yeah, that's a, dude. I had to when I was like in that creative writing program. I had to write poetry. It's fucking horrible, dude. And I was like, I did it, and I was like embarrassed of what I wrote. But it was like hard to do, and it's
hard to do. But who the fuck? Here's the thing: the market will determine if poetry is worth it or not. Right? The reason that people aren't really being paid to write poetry, the reason there's no famous poets today, or very few, it's a very select group. Yeah. It's because people don't want to fucking read poetry.
Let's just be real.
Okay, nobody wants to read fucking poetry. If there was a market need for poetry, people would say, "Hey, you know what, dude? I'm going to fucking spend, you know, thousands of dollars on poetry." It has to be, it's other artists that are kind of supporting that community. For the most part, it's the same thing with painting. For the most part, it's the same thing with art. It's a very select small group, and this is why a painting is so fucking expensive. It's supply and demand, because there's not that many people paying for it and not that many people doing it. Baseball, look, a lot of people are fucking paying for it. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I just,
it's a $1 billion industry.
A fundamental belief. I go, I don't know if my tax dollars.
So is music.
Yeah, and I agree. But why are my tax dollars paying for it? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe the music industry should be kicking back fucking money to the schools. Why?
I think they are.
Are they? Maybe they should. Good. Yeah. I'm glad. Maybe the NFL should be putting money into high school football programs. I don't know. Are they? Look that up. Does the NFL donate any money toward high school and college sports? I highly doubt. Not college, because college football is actually a bigger industry than the NFL. Right? Am I wrong about that?
You're wrong. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Dude, if school was only like the four class. Dude, imagine in your psycho world, Lewis, like fucking school would only be math, history, and English.
No, they should go. They should do
brutal.
More.
You would have dropped out after second grade.
No, MMA class.
Okay.
Not doing
grappling. Who's gonna fund? Maybe Dana White should fucking reach into his pockets.
Level one, grappling.
Dude, I'm an MMA 102. Do they do anything? The NFL Foundation, what do they do?
Yeah, they support like youth athletes.
Yeah.
I don't know how much.
But. Youth football. Okay. I mean, look, that I have no problem with that. Because they're fucking raising little.
You know what should be more in school, high school, like shop class, where you learn how to build stuff. People like to fucking learn, because listen, I should have learned how to build stuff.
Yes.
Way earlier.
Scopo got an A in driver's ed.
Yeah, you really should. Someone should have took me in line. Like, listen, I read your paper. Be a plumber. That's what they should have fucking told me.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's not only, I mean, for every, like, you know, teacher who told me that thing that inspired me, you also learn like him. I took wood shop. Fucking terrible, dude. I couldn't make a fucking cutting board, which is basically a square. A square. And I couldn't do that right, dude. I made it, and I gave it to my mom for, like, Christmas or something, and she was just
she hit you with it?
She's like, what the fuck? Thanks.
Yeah.
Never saw it again.
Yeah,
get kids learning that, hey, you know what, maybe college isn't for me. That's also the debt in this country. There's a lot of kids going to college and realizing after college that, shit, maybe I'm not good at fucking finance or marketing.
Well, that was the giver. That was one of the things in the book. Like, they chose what your profession was going to be at 10, and then you just specialize in that profession. I didn't mind that. That wasn't a terrible, you know, they were drilling little babies in the head. That was a little harsh. You know, any baby that wasn't perfect. Did you ever read The Giver?
No, but I would have been one of the babies, so it's no.
Dude, they're literally a baby that had any defects. Like, any defects, they just bring in. They're like, oh, well, the baby's going to move on. And then the dad, the kid's dad worked, like, in that department. It was like the, you know, he was, like, in healthcare or whatever. And they'd bring the babies into a room, and they use a drill, and this one, and they fucking just drilled the babies in the head. Pretty fucking crazy. Pretty crazy. So, you know, actually, Maddie, let's go to the MMA segment. We're talking about MMA. Let's go to the Maddie Jester's Calls MMA segment of the day.
Here's your go-to for all things in the world of MMA. It's the Matty Jester Skulls Hammer Fisting segment of the day. Let's get it on!
All right, big news. We have a date for MSG in New York. The first ever, I guess, right? The first ever professional MMA event. November 12th.
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, yeah. That's the 23 years after the debut of the UFC, November 12th, 1993.
Are you going to go?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be working it, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Cool. If I'm not working it, I will definitely be going. Huge news. I mean, the huge news for the sport of mixed martial arts. I have this thought, right? Maddie, I'm going to need some more coffee in a minute, my friend. This is the way that I look at it, okay? I don't really care that MMA is legal in New York now. I don't really. Do you care at all, Tinkley? You live here. Do you really give a shit?
Well, yeah. I want to watch UFC at the Garden. I mean, like, when I was a kid, I wanted to see a fucking boxing match, pay-per-view at the Garden. I saw that. That was awesome. Now I want to see fucking UFC.
Yeah, and I think being at the Garden legitimizes the sport to the completeness that it needed.
It's the most...
It is the Garden, too.
Yeah,
it's the only Garden that Zach would ever visit.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Good. I just laughed because it would have been
really quiet. It's a fat joke. Come on, man. You don't eat vegetables?
He doesn't eat... What?
What?
You just made a Garden joke about Zach, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't eat veggies. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That was the point of the joke.
That was the point of the joke.
Yeah. Whatever. It sucked on two
levels. It wasn't a great joke, guys.
I got it.
Thank you, Scopo. You know what it is? Scopo's slow like me, so his mind went there. Like, I think people were picturing flowers and all that other shit, but, you know, I was going like carrots, you know, carrots and fucking tomatoes.
I'm sorry for laughing. I apologize.
The only garden Zach goes to is the Olive Garden.
Oh, you can eat pasta.
Unlimited breadsticks, you fat fuck.
I love carbs.
Look, I don't really care, okay? You're right. It is cool. That's all it is. It's kind of cool to go watch MMA at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
But the reality is, unless you live in that little square of Midtown, you got to jump on a fucking train anyway. Who gives a fuck if it's a PATH train or a subway? You're coming from fucking Brooklyn in the fucking sticks in the ghetto.
Not really. Dude, it's like 50 minutes away from that.
So far. So, you know, I mean, is it the end of the world to go over to Jersey? The only thing I'll say is watching events in Jersey, you're dealing with garbage Jersey people, and I think, New Yorkers in general are cool.
It's the Garden. It's New York City. It's the main. Everything is the center of the world right here.
And plus, it's just dumb that it wasn't legal before.
That's the thing. It was more annoying that it wasn't legal and all these fucking politicians were keeping it out.
No sense, yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know, the reason it wasn't legal in New York City is because the culinary unions in Las Vegas were basically putting a block on legalizing MMA in New York because the owners of the UFC, the Fertitta brothers, own... non-unionized
station casinos,
which are non-unionized, and they were like, yeah, well, fuck you, dude. So there was all of this red tape being created having nothing to do with the sport of mixed martial arts. And look, I broadcast professionally about the sport on the Countdown with Michael Bisping every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rush 93, Sirius XM. But, you know, look, when it really comes down to it, it wasn't affecting my life. It's not like I'm not losing any sleep over not being able to go to the Garden to see it. Either way, what do you think should be the main event? Obviously, Rousey is going to be there. Obviously, John Jones is going to be there. Obviously, Frankie Edgar is going to be there.
He said he might not. They said they might not do Jones and Cormier at that one.
Why not? Well, first of all, Cormier's got to get
far off.
He's got to get past OSP.
That's the thing.
It's not that far off.
Jones said he's... Well, Cormier said he didn't want to wait too long to get back in, so he didn't want to go to November. And then also, Jones said he's more concerned with Rochester, since that's where he's from.
What?
I mean, they're probably just posturing.
What's the arena in Rochester?
I don't fucking
Chris
know.
Weidman's already booked on that show.
Okay, I saw he was at the press conference.
Yeah, that was like part of his thing for like helping out. Because he was making all these rounds with the politicians. That was part of the deal.
But Weidman's another guy. You're from Long Island, dude. You got to fucking get on the Long Island Railroad.
It's New York, dude. He's from the state of New York.
I get it.
It's a big deal for everybody. And plus, dude, how awesome is it going to be to have tickets and have all these like fucking Fairweather fans think they're going to get tickets?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to sell out in a minute.
Is it going to be the return of Ronda Rousey?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be good.
And then I mean,
but is she from New York? Why is she so?
Because she's the biggest fighter, though. Yeah, Conor's going to be there too.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, that's they were talking about that already because Conor wanted to fight East Coast a lot.
Well, I think what they would like now that they have New York, yeah, they'd like it because it seemed like they didn't want Edgar to win the fight against Jose Aldo, which is for an interim title for no reason at all. No fucking reason at all is this for an interim title. But
I mean, that's better than the fucking OSP and Jones.
That's crazy. I hope OSP knocks out John Jones. By the way, he's a plus 425 underdog. Oh, you think it should be even higher odds?
Yes.
It probably should be higher odds,
I see no possible way that dude wins that fight. And dude, you know me, I love underdogs, dude. I always want someone to ruin their plans, and I see no fucking way this dude
you
wins.
You guys were wrong with Bisping. He did have a point.
Yeah, but that was a much closer fight. This is not going to be a close fight at all.
Natty, you said that it was no shot Bisping was going
to
win.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know. Hold on, time out. First of all, go ahead. Let me say this.
You said that.
I'm pretty sure you and me are on the same page as this.
Let me say this, okay?
Did fucking Bisping win? I don't know. Anderson Silva suck.
First of all, Anderson Silva looked as good as he's ever looked, okay, in that fight. He just got too cocky. He didn't go for the kill. He probably could have finished Bisping in the fourth. Bisping was so fucked up that he could have finished him in the fourth if he had any fucking type of heart or any type of fucking instinct to kill. He thought he was going to coast by in this fight. He thought he was going to be able to do something, turn up the heat. Bisping won that fight, and truthfully speaking, I think if you had both these guys having full training camps, there was no layoffs, there's no bullshit, none of that, I think that the differentiation between Michael Bisping and Anderson Silva is greater than the differentiation between Ovin St. Preux and John Jones.
You think Jones and OSP is going to be a closer fight?
I would put it as a closer fight, and if I was making the odds, if there was no layoffs, there was no bullshit, none of that, they were just guys that had full training camps, they were active, they were ready to go, everyone's in their peak, I think OSP John Jones is a closer fight than Bisping Anderson Silva.
What chances do you give it of going to a decision? Because to me, that marks a close fight.
I will bet that the Jones-OSP fight goes to a decision. Jones has gone to decisions with people that are way less tougher than OSP.
Who?
I see no way.
Hold on. Pull up fucking Sherdog. He went to a decision with Stephen Bonner.
That was like UFC 100.
I don't know, dude. He went to a decision with Stephen Bonner. It's John Jones. Do you think he's improved that much?
Yes.
So greatly so that he's just crushing everybody now? Didn't he go to a decision with Rashad Evans? Went to a decision with Daniel Cormier? I mean, dude, it's not crazy here.
Yeah, but we're talking about Cormier.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Rashad Evans. I mean, is Rashad Evans the fucking...
Better than OSP, probably.
Yeah, he's better than
OSP. Would you really put Rashad Evans ahead of OSP?
Who is OSP beat?
I know that he lost to fucking no one that impressive.
My fucking cool older brother.
I think his biggest win is fucking Pat Curry, right?
He really does look like he could be your cooler older. Pull up a picture of Ryan Bader, dude. If Tinkle,
every time he loses, I take it really hard, man.
If Tinkle had all of his chromosomes, he could have ended up looking like Ryan Bader.
No, he's like my cool older brother who got like all the pussy. Used to come home and like let me smell all his fingers.
Oh shit, dude! Just the fucking winner in your family.
Yeah, he would go down to like the water heater where I was chained, and he would let me smell his fingers.
Smell my fingers. What does that smell like?
It smells like success, older
manhood.
Brother.
Yeah, dude. I mean, let me tell you something, man.
But like Bader also freaks the. Like you know what's funny about
Bader? Bader's a hot and cold fighter. He's a good fighter.
He fights like I would fight, where like you get scared and like I'm just gonna jump face first and dive on this guy's ankle. That's how I would fight because I don't know what I'm doing.
I mean, look. I'm gonna look at
OSP's biggest wins are fucking Patrick Cummins and Shogun.
So he walked into a Starbucks, right, and he knocks the tee off of Cummins' hand. Ugh.
Look, he also beat Jean Valente, who spent a lot of time at heavyweight. Ryan Jimmo, he stopped him. You got to look at what he's doing as well. He stopped Mauricio Shogun, who he knocked him out. Knocked out Patrick Cummins in the first round. You know,
his initials didn't sound like GSP, no one would give a shit.
Yeah, dude. But he lost to Glover Teixeira, who fought for a title, and he lost to Ryan Bader, who... Did he ever fight for a title?
No. He fought Jones in a title eliminator.
Yeah.
And then he got scared.
And he got choked out in that fight.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, dude, he lost to Gegard Mousasi. I mean, the guys who he's losing to, with the exception of Bader, which Bader is fucking... Let me tell you something. Bader is a hot and cold fighter. people were talking about Bader like he was the fucking future for a little while, and he's always right there. Bader's basically the gatekeeper of that division, yeah. Okay? So he didn't get past the gatekeeper, but looking at who he's fucking fought and who he's beaten, the way that he's beaten them, it's not crazy. He does have really solid knockout power. John Jones has been off for a long time.
John Jones has not lost. His only loss is because he tried to make a fucking deaf guy blind.
It's pretty cool, yeah. Yes.
It was pretty awesome watching him pound out that deaf guy.
It was pretty awesome watching a fucking referee ask a deaf guy if he was okay.
It's true. You okay? You okay?
He didn't answer back. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, dude, all I'm saying is plus 425 is enough of a differentiation that I go like, wow, dude, here's what you do, right? And this is the point that I made yesterday on the countdown. When you go to a blackjack table, is anybody expecting to win?
Yes.
Yes.
You're an idiot.
Those are the highest odds in the whole.
But
casino.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot. If you go to a blackjack table,
to win.
You should not expect to win. It's gambling.
Positivity, Lewis. You got to go in there with fucking positive thoughts.
There's no skill. It's not poker. There's no skill involved with blackjack. If the cards fall
your way.
No one's
ever made a ton of money playing blackjack.
Yes, they have. What are you talking
He's
about?
He's being sarcastic.
Jesus Christ, right. Scopo. Sorry.
Chris Scopo. Flow ruiner.
I was in utter shock.
I just thought he was fucking being a dick for them.
No, people make money playing blackjack, but it's how your cards fall, okay? With poker, okay, this is a great quote from the movie Rounders, which inspired my 2-7 offsuit tattoo on my my arm. It is skill. It doesn't matter the cards that
of
you
course.
Get. Okay, it's how you play your cards.
I play poker. I don't fuck with blackjack.
Okay? So with blackjack, and I play blackjack in the casinos. I never play poker in the casinos because it's a skill game. When I play blackjack, I'll take out $300 from the ATM machine, and I go, all right, this is my $300 that I'm going to lose in the next couple hours. Let me go sit down, have some fun, have some drinks, have a fun time with everybody at the table. You know, it's an activity that I'm paying for. If I win, I go, that's fucking awesome, dude. I won some money. I'm looking at this OSP John Jones fight in the exact same light, okay? I'm going to put $100 on him. I'm going to be in Vegas for this fight. I'm going to put $100, which, by the way, Sal Vulcano is going to be there at the exact same time. I'm so pumped.
You guys going to make love?
Dude, he's playing in the Derek Jeter golf tournament, and he's like, dude, he's like, my girlfriend's not coming. I get an extra card. You give access to everything. You get food, massage. Get to meet all the celebrities.
You meet Derek Jeter?
Maybe. Hopefully. I don't really give a shit. I'm like, who the fuck are you? I don't watch team sports like a bitch.
He doesn't
bitch.
Even play Derek anymore. Jeter. Gives a shit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure. All right. Yeah. Fucking Derek Jeter. All right,
Scopo's
going
to just smell my hand if I shake his hand.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, but I'm really excited about that. But the same way that I play blackjack, I'm going to bet on this fight. Because do you know how much I'm going to be rooting for OSP if I got $100 riding on it and I could walk out with $525? Do you know how exciting that's going to be?
Gambling makes everything more fun.
Yeah. So I'm willing to lose the 100. I know that I'm probably going to lose the 100, but it's a sexy bet. It's not a crazy bet. John Jones has been off for a while. John Jones has never dealt with a layoff this long, and ring rust is a real thing. I don't know how it's going to affect John Jones. He might come in and question himself. He's had a lot of legal troubles. There's a lot riding on this fight. He said it himself. He's like, usually we don't take fights on short notice. He didn't take the Chael Sonnen fight on short notice because him and his team want to have a specific game plan. Greg Jackson... They're the best team at game planning, and OSP is going to be a guy who's going to come forward and try to knock John Jones the fuck out. Okay, Daniel Cormier, it's a much different fighter than Ovince St. Preux. So all of that into consideration, I don't think that he should be a plus 425 underdog. Tinkle, am I crazy?
You actually changed my mind. I think it should be a plus 900 underdog now.
Come on,
yeah. I just don't.
Dude,
they made
fucking Holly Holm like a 1200 underdog against Ronda, which was insane.
Yeah, I agree. That's crazy too. Also, these lines are also set by the way people are betting. Because the casinos have to make money, you know?
It can move. It can go up or down.
Yeah, I'm going to put them on him. So.
Yeah, when we were in Vegas for the Aldo-Connor fight, the fucking odds changed in like 2 hours. Like, it was, I think, Connor was the favorite, and then by the time the fight started, it changed over.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I'm crazy here, so we'll see what happens. And I'm going to be laughing my way to the bank if I am right about this. So.
Yeah, I just think he's getting older, he's getting wiser, he's getting stronger. I mean, look at all, you know, he's been doing tons of weight training. I just think he's just going to come in. I thought he was going to come in.
What the fuck
is,
I do tons of weight training. Is that helping me become a better fighter? No.
You're not a fighter. I think it's going to help him.
I'm a fighter in life.
I think he's
I fight against the odds every day of my life, my friend.
I think he's going to run, bust off through this dude, and he's going to bust saw through that chubby fucking half sucked on milk dud later on.
And get his title back.
And he's going to go to heavyweight and be a huge star, a heavyweight.
Dude, if he goes
to. People love black heavyweights. who, and he's gonna be faster than everybody. He's gonna be like stronger than everybody. Yeah, he's just gonna be able to throw people around. Oh, it's gonna be awesome.
If you're a young white chick, wouldn't you just want John Jones on top of you?
As an old white dude, I want him on top of me.
What do you mean? Just getting drilled out by that big black fucking monster.
Imagine how big of a line of coke you could get across that dick.
Oh, yeah. Like a whole baggie, right?
Oh, shit, man. All right, let's let's switch gears here a little bit. AMC, movie theaters. Zach, you brought this story. What exactly happened here?
The CEO of the chain AMC was asked about what they're going to change to try to bring millennials back into theaters, because that's the biggest group of people that aren't seeing movies right now. Mm-hmm. And he floated the idea of having texting and phone-friendly movie theaters, where basically people can sit on their phones the entire time and text each other and live tweet the movie, which I think is fucking enraging.
But I'm going to be honest with you. Who doesn't just check their cell phone? I put my dimmer all the way down. I fucking go down toward, like, by my legs, and I look at my fucking phone.
Oh, yeah, I fucking do it right there.
Well, you're a cunt.
Yeah, dude, it's the rudest thing, this big illuminated screen, because the whole point of the theater is it's dark, and the only thing you should be looking at is the movie.
Yeah.
You know, well, like, how enraging is it when people look at their phones during a show?
Well, I don't think it's the problem. The whole problem he's talking about is the texting. It's because kids can get torrent and get the movie from and watch it at home. Who wants to go to a fucking movie theater? We can watch it at home.
With that same train of thought, though, wouldn't you ban black people from theaters in Times Square?
I would.
Thanks, Manny. I mean, look, if it's just about distractions, I mean, like, let's get real. No.
Yeah, I mean, I saw The Witch in a very hood movie theater.
Yeah.
Huge mistake.
If you want to hate black people, okay, if you want to, and I know a lot of our listeners do, go to a movie theater on an opening night in Times Square, and you will be tempted to say the N-word out loud. They don't give a fuck, dude.
You'll become a huge Michael Kramer fan. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, they get very loud in the movie theaters. I know that's like the old hack saying, like, oh, black people are loud in the movie theaters.
True. It's also kind of funny, though, if the movie sucks. It's kind of fun when they make it funny.
It makes me furious.
Really?
I don't give a shit. Let me think the movie sucks in my head.
Oh, I saw Fantastic Four with all the comments, and everyone was just going nuts. The movie was that bad.
I didn't know it was a rule. Can you be kicked out of a movie theater for pulling out your cell phone?
Like a lot of the higher end theaters, like Alamo Drafthouse now, you get one warning. And if you have your phone out more than once, you're out.
Yeah. I would like to see them drag me from my seat for that reason. See, what's more distracting, me looking at my cell phone by my fucking dick, or you dragging me out as I'm trying to fist fight you as you drag me out of the theater? I don't know. I don't really mind. I mean, I have ADD myself, but if somebody pulls out I see that all the time. People pull out their cell phone. As long as they're not talking on their phone, I don't really give a shit if somebody checks their cell phone. Does that bother you, Tinkle?
If they're on the entire time, it's annoying as fuck.
But if they're right in front of you, it's very distracting.
You can't be on the entire time. If you want to check it, I have no problem with it, but...
I wonder if people are periscoping full movies, like, at the theaters. Because when I was watching Batman Superman opening night, I was like, I could just pull up my phone right now, put the dimmer on, turn it completely black, and just periscope it for anybody that wants to see it. And they do that with UFC events.
Did you get sued?
I don't know. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not making money off of it. I mean, what can they really sue you for? They see you have 40 people watching it and sue you for the $13 a movie ticket?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if you torrent movies, technically they can get you.
But nobody really does it. You know, nobody really. That's another thing. Like, you know, we're starting this podcast network, Gas Digital. You know, people are like, yeah, dude, I'll never pay for a podcast. I'll just torrent it. I'll torrent the video. Like, all right, dude. I mean, go do it. We're not going to really sue you. I mean, who gives a shit? These things are designed for people who want to support. You know, if you want to spend your time stealing, I can steal grapes from the supermarket every time. You know, it's like you're running a risk. I guess somebody might come after you, but.
Yeah, it's like I've been watching internet porn for, you know, 30, 40 years now. And, I think I paid for 2 memberships, and it wasn't because I wanted it. It was because, you know what? I think I owe these whores a little bit of money. Yeah. I watch everything for free. I might as well buy once, and then I just, like, download everything.
Well, they do other things, right? So, like, I watch internet porn. I go to Lobster Tube or Shush Time or you know, xnxx.com, which is a great website for it's like a searchable database.
Really. Motherless.com.
Motherless is just makes me feel uncomfortable because you have to peripherally look at, like, incest.
Because they got child your URL.
Yeah, they do have a lot of. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, for every like homemade spit roast, there's like a guy sits on first dildo. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, dude. There's that one, and then E-Fucked is another one that just kind of fucks me up a little bit. That was pretty funny. I'll go to E-Fucked. There was a great one on E-Fucked. I watched it the other day.
E-Fucked, you can't like whack off to anything though. It's just all fun.
You can. Some of it you can.
Yeah, there's a video of these two Irish guys double teaming. Have you seen the Irish girl? And no. They're just, oh, it's great, because they're like trying to like really like mean mug her the whole time.
Yeah.
And they're like calling her a whore and stuff, and she just doesn't give a shit. Like, she's just like,
she's into that dick.
Oh. He's like, yeah, I'm fucking shagging ya. I'm fucking shagging ya. And he's like, he goes, oi, did you bust yet? She goes, no.
No, winter is coming.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. Like, I've paid for a couple porn sites. I paid for, when I used to really be into, like, tattoo chicks. I paid for Burning Angel once, and I also paid for Suicide Girls. Because you couldn't get, and that's not even porn. That's just, like, pictures of chicks. I like, turned a corner in my porn. I got so depraved that I went back to just looking at titties for a little while.
Oh, wow.
And
you went back to ground zero.
That was, like, fucked up to me. I was like, dude, I'm just looking at pretty girls with tits, with their tits out. It's like, and I'm jerking off to them. I'm like, oh, look at that. I'm a depraved psychopath. And it's so funny because that's more fucked up to me than just looking at girls being fucked on camera. But I paid, and they sometimes add little extra things like high def is great, and then also being able to search like a really high quality porn without it just kind of like coming up, because you get almost distracted. So if I'm searching for like fucking cream pies or some general thing, like, if you know what's the one where it's like all really hot, like Nubile's Casting,
yes,
right,
yes,
where it's like 18, 19 year old girls that are smoking hot,
just yes, fresh.
Just, ooh, fresh. You've never really seen them before. They're all gorgeous.
And you usually don't ever see them again.
Yeah, well, that's
80% of them you've never seen them again.
Yeah, the shelf life on porn stars is like two movies.
Yeah.
You know, the average porn star or, you know, porn chick.
4 to 6 months, I think, is what they're...
Yeah. So, you can't really... You're not going to find... You'll find a 4-minute clip of a chick. You might want to really take your time one day with one chick as opposed to getting all ADD'd out and searching for other shit. So, it's better...
It's a rabbit hole sometimes, dude.
It really is. It is better to buy the porn site than it is to just search like the streaming sites.
Yeah.
But I mean, typically you don't really have to, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know, if somebody wanted to steal the videos of Real Ass Podcast once we go behind the paywall, I don't really give a shit. We have a 2-week trial built into Gas Digital, so you can come in, you can sign up for 2 weeks, you could download the entire database and then fucking not pay, cancel your membership, not pay for it. Okay, I don't know. If you're going to go through that process and you're that much of a fan, more power to you, dude. You'll probably come see me live at one point at a comedy show. You'll probably buy a t-shirt one day. If you care that much to go through that process, okay, that's fine.
You also tell people about it. And
yeah,
you play this shit for other people.
Exactly, so, dude. So, you know, for me, I don't really give a shit if people are like stealing, quote unquote, the content. People do it all the time. There's enough people out there that are willing to support the shows and willing to pay for the content that it kind of offsets that cost. It's like when you open a supermarket, there's X amount of dollars per year that you're saying we're losing because people are going to steal, things break, whatever it is. You know, somebody told me that about Amazon. They don't turn a profit, because I got a robe. I bought a robe from Amazon, like a nice like fleece robe, and they didn't have the belt with the robe. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, they didn't have the belt. It just wasn't in the package. So I emailed Amazon, and they were like, yeah, dude, we're going to give you, refund your money, just keep the rope. I was like, oh, I would have sent it back, and I have to buy a fucking belt myself. But, I mean, you can just do that. If you want to fuck Amazon, just call Amazon and say a piece was defective. They're not going to have you send it back. It's too much of a pain in the ass to go through that process. They don't have the infrastructure to do that.
Or you could, like, have your brand new $200 headphones in, take them off, email Amazon and say, I didn't get them. and they'll send you new ones.
You could kind of do that with anything, though. We did that with DirecTV, me and my dad, when one of the fights was on.
Yeah.
It was raining. So for like a round, we lost the fight. My dad called up and was like, I didn't watch the second fight. The fight was over.
They go, you could, okay, just say that.
We'll refund your money.
They have no idea. They have no way to track that.
So we watched. We missed one round of the fight, and we watched the fight for free.
Yeah. And look, it's a scummy thing to do, but I mean, when I was younger watching pro wrestling, that would actually happen. The wrestling pay-per-view would drop out for a little while, and then you'd call them up and they'd refund your money or they'd give you a credit or whatever. I try to support anybody that I'm doing business with, right? So typically I try not, except porn. I'm not gonna fucking go pay for porn. That's kind of crazy, you know. I probably wouldn't watch porn if I had that attitude toward porn, but typically I wouldn't do that. For a UFC event, I'm not going to go and steal the event. There's streaming sites right now where you can go and just stream any live UFC event.
I've done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
Stream it, yeah.
Yeah, typically I'm going to try to support it. If I can't afford the pay-per-view on my own, I'll go to a bar and buy some wings, and I'll fucking watch it at a bar with my friends, you know? So, yeah, I don't even know the point I was making.
My comedy albums were on the torrents, and I could. I was so fucking flattered.
Yeah,
that someone put them. That someone took, because I wouldn't even know how to fucking do that shit. I was so flattered; it didn't upset me at all.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
It was very nice.
Yeah, whatever. I'm gonna release an album.
I mean, it was
this
sad
year.
That it was like zero seeds and zero downloads, but the fact that they were on there made me very happy.
It was the principle of it.
Yeah, can someone see that shit? Thank you.
Oh shit! So, all right, let's fucking. Let's talk. I mean, we really got away from the AMC and the movie theaters thing, but you know what? It's kind of funny because it kind of reminds me of, we're talking about like movie theater law, right? And it's like, yeah. I don't know. I just fucking, that's a great old Seinfeld bit too, where he talks about how he just throws his garbage on the floor. He was like, I'm paying $14 for a ticket. I'm paying $8 for popcorn. If I'm done, when I'm done with my drink, I just roll it down the aisle. You know, it's fucking, he does it better, I guess.
I would say so.
He also sounds like Seinfeld. That's pretty cool.
That was a pretty good Seinfeld impression. Fuck
What's
you.
The deal?
I don't think it's bad. I think it's kind of cool that you're like gonna like wrangle all these assholes in one theater and let them do their own thing. And if someone has their phone in the theater that you're in, just be like, hey, fuckhead, go next door with all the other dipshits who don't know how to act.
Yeah, well, look, I don't mind that. I don't mind the concept.
I really don't think the problem is the texting thing, though. I think it's the kids stealing it and watching it home. That's, I think, the problem is right there.
Well, then there's a whole theater of people doing it. I don't think that's why they're coming up with the concept. They're not doing it, by the way.
Yeah,
the CEO came out and said...
Yeah, there was enough people talking about it that he said it was just an idea I had. Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're talking about like these laws. Does anybody know what happened with this fucking tranny bathroom law? Where was it at?
What?
Was that North Carolina law?
It was. Maddie, look it up really quick. We already guessed the news, so we don't have to play the...
I think it was North Carolina that wouldn't allow... Whatever sex you want to be wouldn't allow you in that bathroom. It's what you're born into.
Yeah, it was your the gender you were born. You have to use the bathroom for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, dude, I got a kid. Do I think trannies are attacking kids? I don't think that they are. I don't think that there's a that. I guess that's is like protect our kids. It's like are trannies attacking fucking kids? I mean, is that are
no.
they? Are
but
they,
I don't understand.
I think that, look, I've said before. It's like I think that they're a little fucked up. I had dinner with my tranny friend last week, and I'm going to do a real ass.
Does
podcast.
She like when you call the tranny friend?
Yeah, she doesn't give a shit. I'm going to do a real ass podcast exclusive with her, and I talked to her about it that night because you know I think typically the real ass podcast exclusives it's an interview and it's in depth and it's somebody that I either respect or really want to learn from or learn about. And I think that, first of all, she's super cool, but she's a huge comedy fan, and she's a psychoanalyst. She's like a high-end therapist. So I think she has a very interesting perspective on the world. She likes really dark comedy. She's like a huge Kurt Metzger fan. I met her because she was at a Kurt Metzger show, and she came up to me afterwards. She was like, oh, I think you're very funny. And she's super cool. She's just very supportive of my comedy. She brought me to dinner for my birthday, and I'm really fucking excited. We went to a place called Ilili, which was a fucking dope ass restaurant. Here, what, this is the Houston Proposition. Or I play this.
Yeah, this is the commercial that went out.
Good.
A while back.
And bathroom ordinance. What does it mean to you? Any man at any time could enter a woman's bathroom simply by claiming to be a woman that day. No one is exempt. Even registered sex offenders could follow women or young girls into the bathroom. And if a business tried to stop them, they'd be fined. Protect women's privacy.
Look at those legs.
Prevent danger. Vote no on the Proposition 1 bathroom ordinance. It goes too far.
That's Scopo.
Wow.
Yeah, but they made it sound like it's a man, like an actual man.
That's not what they're afraid of. Don't pretend like, oh, men are going to go, oh, I'm going to be a woman. You're fucking... You're transphobes.
If any of us walked into a woman's bathroom, people would be like, dude, what the fuck are
you
doing?
I think we can maybe make a little more nuance in the law. You shouldn't be able to go, oh, I'm a woman. Yeah, let me go fucking in the women's bathroom. But come on.
Who hasn't shit in the women's room because there was a line for the men's room?
Who follows bathroom law? First of all, I believe in New York, you can just go into any bathroom. I was told that when I worked at the gym that there was no law in the locker rooms there was, but the bathrooms, there was no law preventing a man. It's just a fucking sign on the door. So there's no like legal ordinance, and it is state by state. But yeah, I've used the women's room. I will not even blink
I'm not going to do coke in a men's room. That's gross.
You know what smells in there?
Yeah.
Dude, coke is the worst drug to have to do in a bathroom because you breathe in deeply.
Yeah.
Oh, and you have to smell and all that shit. Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, look, I think there should be maybe be a little more nuance in the law, but
this was the law right here, the North Carolina thing.
Yeah, this is the specific one. Is there another video that you want to play? Or what is it, Maddie? Just, no, you don't have to play another video.
I was just looking up the information.
What is the information on it?
I didn't find anything
yet. You didn't find anything yet. Thank you, Maddie. Good job.
That's why I pulled that off that screen.
Like, if a woman will drag you into the women's room and blow you, she's amazing.
Yeah.
If a girl will follow you into the men's room and blow you, she's a pig.
Yeah, she's an animal. Here's what we should do, is we should just get rid of gender roles for bathrooms in general. Who cares? Why don't we just make it unisex bathrooms across the board? You know, I don't know, man. I mean, like, I guess there are people that
you can't do that.
I mean, why not?
Because there's fucking animals.
But hold on, you don't know. Or let's say you're a child molester. So little boys are at risk with male child molesters.
Thinking more like at a fucking on like a Friday night, and then you get fucking drunk dudes just kicking it. I mean, you have to have some kind.
I'm thinking also if you go to like football games, you know, the lines are way longer for the women's bathroom than it is for the men's bathroom.
Just make our lives suck.
Yeah,
I take it back.
Yeah, you can't have drunk dudes like that close to like with their hand on their dick next to women.
But we have a law. We have a law that says you can't attack women and children. So is the bathroom, do you think a bathroom sign with a gender attached to that bathroom has ever deterred a rapist or a child molester? Do you think that's preventing anything? It's a public space.
I think if the bar is crowded and maybe the bathroom is not that crowded, if you just walk into the, you can see a dude walking into a woman's thing, that's fucking weird. I would say something like, why is this guy just going to a woman's bathroom?
But it's only weird because we live in a society where we're putting a fuck. It was weird in the 40s for a black person to drink from a white person's water fountain. You know what I'm saying? Because we were like, oh, well, why is that person drinking from that water fountain? Because we're just kind of told that. I don't know, man. When I go into a bathroom, you have to get used to the idea of kind of shitting next to each other. That's really what's going on. It's like women are uncomfortable shitting by men.
I'm uncomfortable shit next to women.
Yeah, so am I a little bit. I don't fart in front of women.
That grosses me out. Yeah. I don't want that.
But it's like, that's just kind of us being childish. I don't know. I mean, I just don't. I don't really understand. Like, a man could walk into a little girl's room.
No, that's fucking.
That was
a
sketch right there. That was like some South Park shit.
It was on SNL.
Was it?
That was Michael Che.
It's right Pete there. Davidson.
But I mean, what happens to all the little boys that are being molested by men? They're going into the same bathrooms with them. Guess what? Be a good parent. Don't let your fucking 5-year-old go into a bathroom stall by themselves. I wouldn't let my son go to the bathroom by himself. Get out of your fucking mind. He's 3. He's gonna be at an age when, you know, in a couple years where, you know, I'm gonna accompany him to the bathroom. So I don't know. I mean, I just think it's kind of a silly thing. First of all, aren't most male pedophiles? Don't they attack little boys?
Don't say gay.
No, not gay. No, but don't they attack little boys? Look up the percentages.
Yeah, they don't. They never go after like little girls. You never hear little.
I mean, they do.
Not. It's rare.
That's just called love.
Oh, yeah. Boys are more of a fight.
It all depends on what season it is and what they're wearing.
When I went to, I was at Pratt a few weeks ago, and there was three bathrooms. There was a men's room, a women's room, and a unisex room. And it kind of said, you know, it had a sign that was essentially like, if you are not comfortable with
trannies,
either term,
come here.
If you're not comfortable with either term, you're more than welcome to use this room.
That's okay. I mean, look, I don't know that we should make businesses spend the $40,000 to build another bathroom in their establishment.
No, but if you have it, it's nice.
In Europe, there's no women and men's. It's unisex.
Yeah. Does it work there? I think it does.
I don't know.
I mean,
yeah, they also don't fucking.
It was a little weird walking in, and you're walking into
what are
a girl.
All right. So first of all, what did I ask you to look up? Because I forget.
I'm still pulling it up, but the child abuse, I guess, statistics.
I actually think it's better. I want to know the rates.
One in 5 girls, 1 in 20 boys.
Okay, so yeah, little girls are getting it worse, or better, depending on who does it.
You.
So bad.
I'm not gonna touch that.
Dave Lesser jumps out and smacks you with a belt.
He's gonna kill you.
What are the child abuse rates in Europe versus here? Boom. Because maybe that's the answer. Maybe unisex bathrooms are the answer. Maybe the real ass dude for once comes up with a good idea. You know?
It's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Maybe one day
you're bound to get one.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's just kind of people are going to be fucking evil. People are out there. There are people that are going to molest children out there, and I think it's our job to, as parents, to protect our children. You know, I mean, there's a and then to fucking, like, I wouldn't, if you molest a child, I think that it should be the death penalty, in my opinion. You know, and by the way, I'm not saying that Jared from Subway. I'm saying like a fucking kid. Let's move that line back from 15. Okay, like that's a little different. Obviously, there's levels of child rape. I think that if you're if you are raping a child, okay, they should put you down. You're a fucking animal, and you have a psychological disorder that I don't think you're going to be able to fix. You know what I'm saying?
You can mask it, but I don't think you can ever. I think you're just wired wrong.
That's it. That's one of the great equalizers in the world is sex, right? It's like comedy. It's like laughter's real. You, nobody's faking laughing, you know? For the most part, anyway, like a real laugh is a real laugh, and what your dick is getting hard for, you know, it's very real. So if your dick is getting hard looking at little girls and little boys, and you act on that, they should kind of put you down.
I think there was a notorious child molester said something about it. He goes, "Thank God I was caught because I wasn't going to stop."
Yeah,
he goes, "I couldn't stop doing this."
Yeah, and now he's in rehab.
Oh, I don't know. Who. Oh. That took a second, but
slow roll. Yeah.
What does it say, Maddie?
It's hard to find.
How do you not know how to use Google?
The problem is, it's Europe is a continent.
So is North America.
Do Italy?
Yes, but we're looking for the U.S. versus these other countries.
Do Italy?
Fine, Italy. Okay. What are the child abuse?
Well,
child
at least like 4 seconds.
Child molestation rates in Italy, not abuse.
If it says $500 an hour, I'm gonna laugh. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys are funny, man. I'm glad to have you on the show. This would be me and Scopo just fucking grunting at each other.
If you don't have a wiener, you should go in the fucking bathroom. In the no wiener bathroom.
And he did write child abuse too. This is how literal he is. He's just like, he's not even in tune with the fucking.
By the way, he was on fire the other night though.
Was he?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was funny because
he cares about that show.
I was just gonna say, dude, because it was like he was into it,
and he hasn't been like, beaten down yet.
Yeah. You
know, I heard you guys talking shit. Ricky was like, "Maddie, does he abuse you?" And then Maddie was biting his fucking tongue.
Wouldn't have bitten shit.
What does it say? Child molestation rates in Italy.
Still.
Forget it.
There's
Maddie.
So many countries.
If you're in the chat, let me fuck you.
Yeah, one of them is called Italy.
Italy.
Yeah, hit the one that says
Italy. Italy.
I know. I heard you.
Italia.
All right. Matt B in the chat says Scopo is wrong. It's not unisex in Europe. You fucking idiot.
How about dickhead? I lived in Rome, Italy. You fucking moron. And it was unisex.
When in Rome, finger children. All right, forget it. It's fine. We'll move on. Honestly, we're almost done anyway. We got the question of the day. Maddie, pull up the question of the day segment.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
All right, got a bunch of questions. If you guys don't know, Real Ass Question of the Day segment. I was posted on my Facebook, so hopefully we're Facebook friends. We don't even have to be Facebook friends. You guys can just go on my Facebook and comment on shit because I have it public for everybody. A lot of fun questions today. Let's go with Steven Scales wants to know, if a woman was cheating on one of your friends, would you tell them?
Not if it was with me.
Would you tell them if a woman was cheating on one of you? Are you friends with both the male and the woman?
Yeah,
if you're just friends with the man, 100% of the time.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I go to her and say, you better tell him or I'm telling him. And if she doesn't say shit, then you tell him.
Scopo gets all of his rules from Adam Sandler movies.
That was an Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah, remember? That she was cheating on... What's his name?
Yeah, what was that movie? Kevin James movie.
Yeah, it was Kevin James. Maybe it wasn't Adam Sandler.
Yeah, good burn.
Oh, are you thinking of Big Daddy?
No. It was the one where... Yeah, I know exactly which one. It was the one where she's cheating and then the friend...
Was it Winona Ryder?
Oh, it was with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, it was Vince Vaughn. Yeah, The Secret or something. What was it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. That was a brutal fucking, like, it just felt so bad as a dude, as like a jealous guy, like watching a movie about a woman cheating and she's out to
and she
dude.
Was Winona Ryder was good in it. She turned it on Vince Vaughn.
Oh,
in
dude,
the part
great because they fucked earlier in their
I think
like
so.
Before they got
but
together,
but she made it seem like he had a gambling problem. He had a gambling addiction.
Yeah,
it was pretty classic woman.
Yeah, and then she was fucking Channing Tatum, which everyone who watched that movie was like, yeah, why would you not fuck yeah. Channing Tatum? Yeah.
It's Kevin James and Channing
Paul
Tatum.
Paul Blart. Yeah. He can't even walk. He has to use that little fucking biped thing to get around.
If my girl was cheating on me with
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum, I would literally be like, go.
Yeah.
Just
you deserve
it.
This.
Are you ready?
Finally, I have a closer.
Dude, that's crazy. But yeah, dude, if you have a fucking... If you know a chick is cheating on one of your boys, yeah, fucking tell him. Relish in it. Fuck that. What are you doing? It's over. It's over. It's over.
You didn't have to mention it. You just ignore it. It's there. It's there if you want it.
I don't want it.
All right, then don't.
It's over. He literally, he just put up a fucking page of like footnotes. I wish you had a photo.
No, actually, pull that up again, Maddie.
Nope, it's gone.
No, Maddie.
It's gone. I don't even know.
Pull it up. It's in the history, you fucking faggot.
First of all, fuckhead, this isn't like a fucking touchscreen.
Yeah,
no, it was just links. That's all it was. It was a bunch of words.
Yeah, when
links.
When I maximized it, it fucking changed.
Yeah, you're a all fucking right. idiot. Well, it should be known.
I think it is.
Last time I give you a compliment.
All right, let's go. Michael Walter wants to know: have you seen or heard anyone steal one of your jokes on Twitter or stand up?
We just talked about this, me and you.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah, I had a guy, I don't know if he stole my joke, I won't say his name, young comic, somebody sent me a link being like, yeah, dude, this guy's doing like an exact joke of yours verbatim. And it was. It was a fucking, like, look, at the end of the day, I don't know if the joke, it's the joke that I say, I almost got into a fight with a guy, and he says, yeah, won't you suck my dick? And then I'm like, well, why don't we go outside and I'll suck your dick? So that it's not that hard of a thought to come to. If somebody says suck my dick, it actually happened. I was at the gym arguing with the guy at the front desk, and he's like, yeah, suck my dick. I was like, let's go outside and I'll suck your dick. And I was like, oh shit, I sound like an idiot. So that happened to me in life, and the guy did the joke, and there's a video, and somebody sent me the video of it, and I don't think he saw me do it. I ended up hitting him up, just being like, I wasn't even hitting him up saying you stole my joke. I was hitting him up just being like, hey dude, I sent him a copy of my video, the exact thing. It's from Gotham Comedy Live. I have it on video from like 2.5 years ago. So I said, hey dude, so you know I have a joke that's very similar to yours. I was like, I just don't want to ever be on a show together and, you know, us do the same joke, or even worse, one of his friends see me do it and go, and I don't really do it in the city, I do it for the most part on the road now at this point, but somebody would be like, oh, this guy stole your joke, you know. So I wanted to just set the precedence right there. Some people disagree with me on that. I had another comic do a joke that was really similar, my it's whatever the bit was, but he did something very similar, and I was like, I don't know if I want to say something to my, it's a guy who's actually further along in the business than me, and I didn't want to, I felt weird kind of approaching him about it, and I talked to Nate, and Nate's like, no, dude, are you crazy? I was like, you gotta say something. I was like, that's your joke, you've been doing it, if you were doing it first. And I was like, and in my head I was going, dude, this guy's gonna end up getting this, it's a good joke, and he's gonna end up getting it on TV because he's getting on TV all the time. I was like, and I'm just, it's always gonna bug me watching fucking Conan be like, oh, what a fucking brilliant, like, dude, they make a TV show based around that joke. I didn't want it, just would bug the fuck out of me. And once again, it was a joke that I was kind of doing on the road only. I wasn't really doing it in New York City. I know the guy didn't see me do it. The thought process was there. But I said something to him. I was like, hey, dude, so you know, I was like, I'm doing something really similar. He was like, oh, what are you doing? I told him. He was like, yeah, I'm going to ditch it. You know, and that's typically, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm doing that, and they can prove that they've been doing it first, you know, typically you would ditch the joke. You wouldn't go, oh, we're going to both continue to do this joke. So those are the two times that that happened in the 11 years that I've been doing comedy. Tinkle, you've been doing comedy for like 40 years.
Yeah, I had a guy doing something and came up to me and said that something was very similar and asked me if he could do it. And I said, I don't know, I kind of do that, so I'm going to say no. And
yeah.
Then he did it on Comedy Central.
What?
So
no.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He didn't give a fuck. And then it was one of those things that like, I couldn't say, because everybody was like, yeah, it was like, yeah, they don't really give a shit. So I like
it.
Really.
It was different enough, though?
No. It was like, it was a throwaway line, but it was verbatim in the way that I said it.
Wow. Yeah. And, so do you think he stole it, or you think he thought of the same thing?
Yeah, I think he heard me say it.
And subconsciously and retained
it. Worked for what he did, and then he asked me about it. Are you still using that? And I said, yeah. And he's like, cool, and then he did it anyway.
Wow.
And then... So yeah, I mean, but it wasn't like a fucking bit that I like sweated and like, you know, it wasn't like some, you know, like a horrible breakup bit or something. And then yeah, like, that would suck really bad. Something like super personal that you wrote about and then someone just swipes it.
Well, this is why you almost like you have to, you know, make things really personal. Like I don't really do observational comedy. I'm not going like, oh, well, this commercial happened and this is my take on a commercial. I do shit that's about me and my life. So it's typically kind of hard for somebody to be doing the same stuff. You know, if somebody did a joke about their dad getting stabbed and, you know, I would go like, I would look at that and go like, all right, well, I mean, did your dad really get stabbed? I mean, it's very personal. Most of the stuff, I actually have a hard time writing jokes. I'm such a narcissist that all the shit that I think of has to be about me and how it's affecting me in my life. So typically it's just kind of easy stuff. And look, we're comics. We all think of, if you listen to podcasts, we'll use similar tones, similar zings. I mean, if somebody sets something up, you know, it's very easy to kind of think of the same thing. And typically it's easier jokes. Zach, anything like that happen?
I had somebody do saw me do a joke and then said something very similar on their hour special.
Their hour special. Big J?
No.
Wow. Big J saw from Zach.
Stealer? Wow.
Hashtag Big J the Thief.
But I used to do a joke confusing my old about my old roommate, confusing the words vegan and faggot.
I know who it is.
And then somebody did a joke about being vegan where they walk into restaurants and go, what do faggots eat?
Ooh.
And it was, and I know because I watched him.
He saw you? I know who he talked about.
I watched him sit at the bar in CB's when I went right before him that joke.
Tell me in my ear.
Oh, I tell you, I could say, I'll write it down if you want.
Yeah.
You write it down. I want these mics aren't that good. They're not going to pick
it
up.
And it bugged me for a long time. I don't do the joke anymore because I kind of outgrow it.
No, you can't, because it's going to look like you're stealing from this fucking dude who's got it on TV first. Oh, wow. Really?
I watched him watch me do it.
Wow.
Because I remember being happy he watched my set.
Maybe you should tell somebody.
I have told somebody that.
Do you know? All right, I'll tell you later.
So, let's see. What else now? What else? Okay, I don't know if I have any more good questions here. Oh, this is a good one. Brian O'Leary wants to know, what do you think is funnier, LOS or YKWD? Hashtag podcast wars. It's kind of funny because I think with Legion of Skanks, I've laughed harder than I've ever laughed in my entire life, period. Like, the hardest I've ever laughed have been certain episodes of Legion of Skanks. I mean, Big J, it's just undeniable.
It depends on which one Dan Soder's on that week.
What, are you telling me who stole your joke?
No. It's just a little bit more info to the
story. That camera.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what is it? What does it say?
Is it on there?
No, I don't think it showed up. Right. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's it.
All
right.
What is it?
It's just more info about it.
Okay.
I'll tell you. We'll tell you.
Yeah, tell me later. So, here's the deal, right? YKWD, I would say the shows that I'm on, because I don't listen to the ones that I'm not on.
It's more of a rotating, but you guys are more stable. It's the three of you always.
I would say I've consistently laughed more on YKWD than I have on Legion of Skanks. But the hardest I've ever laughed in my life has been on Legion of Skanks. Like, we've done bits on that show where, I mean, I have just been hurting from laughing. And the same thing with the YKWD. So, funnier, it's hard to, it depends on what you consider.
You guys do more bits on Legion of Skanks, too.
Yeah.
You just sit down and talk on YKWD.
Yeah, it's a different show altogether. I will say, I don't know of any funnier podcasts than either of those shows. The reality is, like, from like a pure aesthetic standpoint, I think the Real Ass Podcast is one of the best podcasts in the world. I truly believe that we do a great job of coming in, having a conversation, being funny in the moment, but at the same time kind of breaking down a topic and having direction. And we have show notes. We really do prep for the show. It's a different thing. In terms of funniness, I don't know of any other podcasts that are as funny as Legion of Skanks or YKWD. Period. I've listened to all the ones that people suggest for me to listen to that I'm going to laugh really
They're
hard
not
at.
Not as funny. None of them.
Not even close.
No, it's not even close.
In the chat, let me know if you guys know of anything that I should listen to. I'm going on flights this week. I'm going to LA and I'm going to go to Vegas. I love listening to podcasts on flights. It kind of just makes the time go pretty quickly. I listen to Bill Burr's podcast a lot.
It's different though. He's by himself.
It's great. I'm a big fan of Bill Burr. But it doesn't make me laugh the same way YKWD makes me laugh or fucking Legion of Skanks. I mean, these are funny, funny shows.
Mm-hmm.
So old ONA bits. I listened to a fucking ONA bit the other day that I mean, fuck, dude. It was so funny. Because I wasn't a fan of ONA growing up. So now I go back and I listen to bits that people will post online. And there was one where they were doing Popeye Jesus. If you want to just fucking laugh, dude. Oh, my God, dude. It was... I might have been...
That's when I was Karian's Kia.
Yeah, dude, it was so fucking...
I probably know that word for word.
Dude, it's so...
You gotta watch that. I haven't watched that
fucking really funny. Every day, if you want to just go on a little journey, like, obviously listen to Legion of Skanks, obviously listen to White Kid Beatty, obviously listen to The Realized Podcast and all the other amazing shows on the Gas Digital Network. But if you want to just really fucking laugh, just go on to YouTube and just search ONA bits.
If you want a really good one, one that Patrice is involved in, when that fucking black guy mugged that old lady in the elevator, I just realized.
Remove your hat.
I just realized, yeah, remove your hat fucking video.
Yeah.
One of the, it's a staple.
I don't know if I ever saw it, dude.
It's hilarious.
I mean, I think all of us, including YKWD and Legion of Skanks, like maybe Legion of Skanks, we were all Howard Stern fans. We never really listened to ONA, all of us. But the influence came from like YKWD and that show.
Oh, so, I listened to ONA when I was younger. When they were on 102.7.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what made me want to do comedy, was listening to Jim Norton and Rich Voss tell a story about double teaming a girl in a hotel.
Oh, it's hilarious.
And I was like, yeah, I want to be one of these dudes that just talks for a living.
Just creeps. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, dude, they've influenced so much of what we do now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny. I almost wish I listened to ONA over Howard Stern back in the day, because the shit that they did, and for people to give Opie shit, it's like, come on, dude, that guy kept control of that fucking room. And I don't think people give enough respect to what Opie does and credit to what he does, because to lead a show, and I host a lot of shows, I host The Countdown, I host this show, you know, I lead the show in the direction, I push the conversations in certain directions. It takes a lot of fucking work, and it's a very skilled person that has to be able to do that.
You said something great one time about, there's another great Patrice thing where he talks about the United States, like turning America.
Oh, it's so funny. I was going to say that.
And Patrice does one, like, oh, this would be like New York Land or whatever. And then Opie's like, do more. Do what would be the other one?
Yeah.
Opie completely drove the bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you need somebody that's going to do that, because we're all fucking psychopaths. We're all just trying to get some fucking line off. We're not even listening to each other. We're just trying to think of the next thing to say. You know what I'm saying? I look over at Zach sometimes and I just see the wheels turning. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't think he gets enough credit. And obviously, Anthony and Jim, those guys are two of the funniest people on the planet. You're just not going to find too many people that I can sit down at a table with those guys and still be funny.
It's also because YKW, everyone's friends.
Yeah.
So it's like, I've never really, when I started doing YKW, I never realized after the mics are off, it's the same conversation.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing as when the mics are on. So that's why the shows would work that way.
Yes, sir. All right. let's wrap this one up. Solid show today, boys. Solid show, man. Really, really good one. Show keeps on getting better. Once again, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Ralph! Do we have any news?
The call was moved to 3:30.
Fuck. We're hoping we can announce this other show. Two other shows are very close.
I would say one is 90%, and one I'm putting at 65%.
Okay, no. Ralph, one is at 99%.
Ralph's a pessimist, so those numbers are way higher.
One is at 99% in my mind. The other one's at 94% in my mind.
Ralph is an optimist.
Yeah, okay. GasDigitalNetwork.com officially launching May 1st. No matter what, we're launching this. We've been beta testing. We're going to be putting it. You guys should be able to get your actual memberships as of May 1st, maybe even a few days before, because we're doing those free trials as well. Make sure you grab your t-shirt for the Real Ass Podcast. And you know, this is going to be it, man. Thanks so much, guys, for listening to the show. Tell your friends about us as well. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We're not getting enough iTunes fucking love. Dave Smith started blowing up on iTunes, and I'm getting jealous. So go to iTunes right now. Leave us some fucking love. Leave us a 5-star rating, some reviews, some feedback. Tell your friends about the Real Ass Podcast, because this bitch is the future. Love you guys. Real Ass Dudes, Rattlesnakes, all that other shit. We're out.
That's all, folks.